Exodus 21 through 21, these are the words of God. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers into the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Brothers and sisters, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all broken covenant with God in our father Adam and in our own person. And our sinful passions were aroused by the law. So hearing God's law, we are confronted with our transgressions. So let us go to Him seeking His grace, praying the prayer of confession from Psalm 102 in your order of worship. Let us pray this together for Jesus' sake. O Lord, let my cry for help come to You. In the day when I call, answer me quickly. Because of Your indignation and Your wrath, for You have lifted me up and cast me away. You, Lord, have regarded the prayer of the destitute and not despised their prayer. You look down from Your holy height to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to set free those who were doomed to death. You will arise and have compassion on Zion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our promise of comfort and forgiveness this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 29. Colossians 1:1-29. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I become its servant by the commission God gave me to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. The congregation, please rise for the assurance of pardon. Our sermon text this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. First Corinthians 10, 1 through 14. Brothers and sisters, the word of the true and the living God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up for it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, last Lord's Day, we heard from God's Word, part one of a two-part sermon. We heard from God's Word of the grace that comes with discipleship. The grace that God is remaking humanity in creation in the new Adam, Jesus Christ. We heard of the grace that He's saving human beings born in Adam, born in sin, as part of the old covenant which Adam broke. And by grace, the Lord is bringing people, families, nations from the bondage of sin into the kingdom of His marvelous light. and the beginning of the recreation of humanity began Easter Sunday in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You heard from Colossians 1, which I read earlier. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. He's not the lastborn. He's the firstborn of the dead. And today that grace continues in the church, carrying out the Great Commission. For God so loved the world, He loved His creation, that as the gems testified this morning, He is sending His people to remake it by baptizing and by teaching. Baptism is the grace, is the initiatory grace of the new covenant. Baptism is a means of grace. Through the waters of baptism, an individual is brought from the old creation to the new. But we have to see this by faith. The baptized are no longer in Adam. The baptized are no longer enslaved to sin. We hear it by faith. God promises us this in His Word. This is grace. This is His love. God loves in covenant. God loves in covenant. And as the Lord has revealed in His Word, covenants have two parts. Boys and girls, do you know the two parts of the covenant? Love and faithfulness. We'll work on that one. Love and faithfulness. God blesses us, His people, with love, and we respond with faithfulness. Love by His good grace and favor. We respond by loving Him back. How do we love God? By keeping His commandments. This is covenantal faithfulness. No one can say that they love God while disregarding and breaking His commandments. That's how we love God. And keeping God's commandments is the second part of the Great Commission. Jesus said to His church, "Go, disciple the nations." How, Jesus? By baptizing and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. God's love, baptizing into Christ, into His death, into His resurrection, into His church, into the new creation, baptizing with the promise of the Holy Spirit. How does that sound? Love, 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 love. Grace from God. What's the second part? The second part has to go with it. What's the second part? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. And this is where, sadly, the heresies of the church have arisen. False teaching, false assurance. Many are so afraid of salvation by works, salvation by merit, you can earn your salvation. So many are concerned about that. They think, they are fearful of the command, keep God's commandment and maybe He'll save you. They're so concerned about that. Worry that you can earn His love. Brothers and sisters, that was never God's plan. Earning God's love was never part of His plan. It wasn't His plan for Adam. It wasn't His plan for Moses and Israel to earn their salvation. And His plan for the church in Jesus Christ was not salvation by works. For salvation is of the Lord and salvation is by grace. But to avoid that false teaching, to avoid the ditch on that side of the road, many have steered into the ditch on the other side of the road. Not by works. You can't earn it, so we reject God's law. We reject the need for obedience. We reject any responsibility on the part of the people. No responsibility. And this is what's called easy believism. Easy believism. Or a bigger, more expensive word is antinomianism. Easy believism is easy, quick belief, make a decision, once saved, always saved. That's a false teaching. Antinomianism is anti, against, nomos, law. Anti-law. Law is bad, even though God created it. You see this in evangelistic events where walk an aisle and you can be saved. That's a false teaching. It's not what the Bible teaches. And that false teaching tells you, once you've done that, once you've made a decision for Jesus Christ, you don't need to obey. No responsibility. Avoid this ditch, earning your salvation, and go into this ditch. Don't worry about obedience. That is faithlessness. That is lovelessness toward God. By definition, if you love God, you keep His commandments. What if you don't keep His commandments? It's not loving God. And sadly, there are many Christians, many people who call themselves Christians, who will one day stand before Jesus Christ and they'll say, I walked an aisle. I made a decision for Jesus Christ. I asked Him into my heart. I prayed a prayer. That's not in Scripture. Those models for salvation are not in Scripture, and the church is putting those forth. People believe that. And they're not part of the Great Commission. Last week we heard that God creates in covenant. Adam and Eve, all of creation, were created to be in covenant with God. They owed everything to God. When Adam sinned, He plunged all of us, all of creation, into bondage. So in the new covenant, God is recreating all things. And He does this by covenant. This is the new covenant. God saves in covenant. And when He saves people, they're safe. We are saved from our sins and we're incorporated here into the church, into the body of Christ. He saves into the church. And what does the church do? What's the Great Commission? Baptize and teach. So that's what we're doing. We are teaching. The church teaches the disciples to obey all that Christ has commanded. And this is not a new thought. This is not a new teaching in the history of God's people. This was in the Old Covenant, and this is in the New Covenant. You heard earlier from Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. Now, in Exodus 20, Israel had just been brought out of bondage, out of the house of slavery, Egypt. They were enslaved. Okay? We were enslaved in sin. They were enslaved in Egypt. They were brought out, and the Holy Spirit says they were saved. Think about that for your theological understanding. Israel was saved, the Holy Spirit says. They were saved. You were saved. Make the connection. They were saved, you were saved. And what happened through the Red Sea? 1 Corinthians 10, they were baptized. They were saved, then baptized, and they were brought to the Mount. And what happened at the Mount? Ten Commandments. Saved, baptized, then taught. You see the pattern? Saved, baptized, taught. Israel, saved, baptized, taught. And this is what God says in the Ten Commandments. I'll just read the first two verses. You've heard these before. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I am the Lord your God who brought you out. Are those nice words? Are those good words God's people want to hear? That's grace. That's salvation. I am your God. I just defeated Egypt. I just defeated Pharaoh. Remember all those plagues when I was whipping Egypt back and forth? I'm your God and I brought you out of slavery. Grace, grace, grace. Love, love, love. That's the Old Covenant. That's the Old Testament. Israel, you are God's people. Then what? Commandments. Obey me. Keep my commandments. Love and faithfulness. There's a false teaching that the Old Covenant is law then grace. What do the Ten Commandments say? You're my people, so obey me. That's grace then law. That's the Old Covenant. Doesn't it sound a lot like the New Testament? Baptize then teach? Grace than law? This is one book, not two. It's one book, God's revelation to us. The same covenant structure exists and is taught in the New Covenant. Colossians 1, which you heard this morning as well. I'll just read verses 19 to 23. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, the Son of God, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is grace, right? Jesus died. Once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Grace, grace, grace. Love, love, love. Verse 23. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. If you continue. Does that sound like once saved, always saved? Does that sound like pray a prayer and you're good to go? The same teaching in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Grace, then the requirement for faithfulness. Teachings, ministries, churches that just focus on the first part, just focus on making a decision, they do the people a disservice. False assurance, and they set them up for failure. I'm good to go. I walk the aisle. I have a get out of jail free card at the final judgment. Brothers and sisters, that's not the teaching of Scripture. That's not God's revelation. To keep covenant with God, we have a responsibility to be faithful. Let's pause and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. You want to play with those, don't you? Those bells are pretty tempting. Should come in here during cookie time, and adults will want to play with them too. Can I see your eyes on me, please? Eyes, eyes. Good job, eyes. Good job. The Lord be with you. It's not my birthday, but thank you. Who can raise their hand and tell me what is John 3:16? It was in the gems litany. I should see some gems with them, some hands up, don't you think? I see one, and it's a boy. Come on, girls. John 3:16. Sophia? Keep going. Very good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. So I always want to look at that verse. For God so loved. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Is that God's love? Does that talk about God's grace? Very good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Is that grace? Is that love? God the Father gave his Son for us? Very good. Who can raise your hand and tell me who is God's Son? Abby? Jesus. Okay, good job. Hands down. So for God so loved, that's good, that he gave, that's good, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, not die, but have eternal life. Is that good, Dean? Not dying, eternal life. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You like that? You like that? That's good, right? Okay, hands down. I've been talking about the need for us as God's people, we have a responsibility for faithfulness. Who can raise their hand and tell me, what's the faithfulness part, the responsibility part of John 3:16? What do we have to do? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What's the responsibility, Caleb? Believes. Whosoever believes in him. Raise your hand if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord. Okay, hands down. Now this believes, what this doesn't say is whoever believed in him. Raise your hand if you believed in Jesus last Sunday. Okay, hands down. Raise your hand if you believed in Jesus a year ago. Hands down. Raise your hand if you believe in Jesus today. Okay? Hands down. That's really good. What this says is you have to continue to believe. This word believes, if you read the Old King James, it says, whoso believeth, and that teaches us a little bit more than just simply believes. Believeth is, it means you believed it yesterday, today, and you continue to believe it. So, raise thumbs up, thumbs down. Do we have to continue to believe in Jesus? Thumbs up, yes. Thumbs down, no. Do you have to continue to believe? Is it a good thing or a bad thing if you stop believing in Jesus? If you don't believe in Jesus next Lord's Day? If you don't believe in Jesus in a year from now? Right, that's not good. That's bad. We want to continue to believe. So, boys and girls, I commend you. You're doing a very good job believing in Jesus Christ. And you must continue to believe in Jesus Christ. All right? Let's pray and ask for God's help with that. You fold your hands. Close your eyes. Please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us and giving us your Son Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to continue to believe in you for eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, back to your seats. Good job. Brothers and sisters, the covenantal responsibility for faithfulness, as you've heard already from Exodus 20, Colossians 1, and now our sermon text from 1 Corinthians 15. In this text, we see grace. We see covenant grace from God for His covenant people. Remember, God loves in covenant. God loves in covenant. And He's faithful to His covenant. And in this text, you also hear the need for faithfulness. So, I'm going to read the first four verses again. 1 Corinthians 10. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. So first off, verse 1, our fathers. The context is the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to a new covenant church. Made up of a lot of Gentile Christians, and Paul just said, our fathers. Paul, a Jew, writing to Gentiles, said, our fathers, and he's talking about Israel coming out of Egypt. So understand the significance of that statement. It's not physical blood Jews, not the nation in the Middle East that are descendants from Abraham. It's those who have the faith of Abraham who are descendants of Abraham. And that's what Paul's telling the Corinthians. You are the sons of Abraham. All of Israel were baptized. The whole nation of Israel was baptized. This is grace. This is that love, covenantal love and grace. Each man, woman, and child, each baby being walked across the Red Sea, the Holy Spirit says, was baptized. They were all saved. They were saved through the waters of baptism. Now, there's the belief that we don't baptize covenant children because the Bible doesn't say explicitly do so, and He doesn't give us an example for it. Clearly, that's not the case. The Holy Spirit equates the saving grace of the Lord for both the adult and the child. He groups them together. The Holy Spirit says they were all saved. The Holy Spirit says they were all baptized. So when we understand baptism, we understand this as an example, and we have to include it. The rock from which they drank was Christ. So again, all of Israel experienced Christ through baptism, Through the sacramental meal of Passover, they all experienced Christ when they ate the manna from heaven. All of Israel enjoyed Christ. They enjoyed covenant blessings. They enjoyed God's covenant love. What was the end for these Israelites? How did it work out for them? What happened to this nation? Verse 5. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Verse 9. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. Verse 10. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. This entire first generation perished in the wilderness except for two people. This entire nation of Israel died and did not enter God's rest. Yet they were all saved. Yet they were all baptized. Yet they all ate from the meal. And the meal that they ate was Christ. They all had that. They all experienced that. If this were an evangelistic rally and Moses is up front and he's telling them, walk forward, make a commitment for Jesus Christ, the whole nation walked the aisle. The whole nation made a commitment for Jesus Christ. And they all walked through the Red Sea. And Moses says, here's your meal. Eat up. You are experiencing Jesus. And yet they all perished. They all died. The Spirit wants the New Covenant Church to hear this, to read this, and what? How should we take this? How should we understand this? Verse 6, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Examples. Verse 11, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. These were our fathers in the faith. Moses, Aaron, Caleb, Joshua. These are our fathers of the faith. Take heed, brothers and sisters. Hamlin Reformed Church, take heed so you don't fall as they did. Flee from idolatry. Let no one in this congregation say, I'm saved, I'm good no matter how I live. Everyone sins, once saved, always saved. Let none of us say that. Let no one say, hey, I was baptized, I can do whatever I want. I can buzz through the church, get baptized, and continue on my way and do whatever I want. Let no one say that. Let no one say, hey, I made a profession of faith. That'll get me through the judgment. This is essential, brothers and sisters. This is essential for us understanding our relationship with the Lord, to understand our baptism, understand our salvation, and understanding our eternal destination. First, we must base our understanding on what God has revealed in His Word. What has God shown us in His Word? Not what Grandma and Grandpa taught you. Not what an evangelist told you to make you make a decision. Not what some pastor or preacher told you. For all are fallible. What's not fallible? What's infallible? What's perfect and inerrant? The Bible. Very good. If you agree or disagree with this sermon this morning, go home, open your Bible, and check what the Word says. What does the Word say? Don't hide behind some teaching you once heard. Don't hide behind some theological structure you have in your brain. Go to the Word. Read the Word. What does the Holy Spirit tell you? Secondly, the relationship we enjoy with the Lord is not based on a decision. It's not based on a prayer or some act that we did. It's based on God's covenant that He makes with us. And it's confirmed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. Brothers and sisters, you've been saved by grace. You've been saved in Jesus. Third, we have to be faithful to God. Jesus was faithful to the Father. Jesus was faithful to the Word. Jesus kept covenant, and we have to do the same thing. You do not earn it. That's not the point. You do it out of love. You do it out of faithfulness to your covenant Lord. Fourth, keep covenant with God. Keep His commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. Do all the things God Almighty commands you to do. Don't just stop at John 3:16. All of God's Word. On Judgment Day, as you stand before the Lord, what will get you through to eternal life? Jesus. Jesus Christ gets you through to eternal life. Gems, is that the message? Jesus gets you to eternal life? Yes. Yes. Jesus. Jesus is the message. Your union with Him by covenant gets you eternal life. Your union with Him. If you don't keep covenant with God, you are not united to Jesus Christ. If you're not keeping covenant with God, you are not united to Jesus Christ. Fifth and last, resist false teaching. There's a lot of bad theology out there. Bad teaching on TV, bad teaching on the internet, bad teaching in the churches some of your relatives go to. Even in denominations, there's bad teaching, right? So, brothers and sisters, you have to be discerning. You have to know what's taught here. If this sermon is blowing your mind today, you need to be in the Word more. And if it's not blowing your mind away, you still have to be in the Word more. Don't place your trust in teachers and preachers and evangelists, in chariots or horses. Trust in Jesus, the one who's revealed in the Word. In the following weeks, we will hear more from God's Word on what those requirements are, more in more detail, His teachings, His commands. In these last two messages, today and last week, you've heard that you're saved by grace. Is that taught here? Does the Holy Spirit tell us we're saved by grace? Okay, so that was last week's message. Does the Spirit tell you you have to be faithful to the Lord? That's this week's message. Check the messages. And stay united to Christ by the faith He gives you. You don't have to do it of your own fleshly power. Trust in the Spirit. Take heed lest you fall. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who